This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Mayor Julie Moore Wolf has worn a lot of hats in her career. How long were you on television?
Here about 11 years, and then I was in Texas before that for around four, and then college I was on, you know, as a student. We had an NBC station, but I was on for a couple years there. So, you know, a long time here.
I would have guessed way longer than 11 years, just my weird nostalgia memory on that. But it was a different time. There wasn't as much competition, right? I mean, there wasn't as much vying for people's attention. And do you think when we get to your obituary, and I know that sounds like an incredibly important question, but I mean, which of your career path do you think will be the headline? It will be mayor, right? But it probably would take something like mayor to take out TV personality.
Well, probably, but, you know, it's one of those things. I just hope they use a picture from when I was younger and less, you know, wrinkled.
All right.
Much cuter.
But you were back when, local TV people were way bigger personalities maybe than they are today, and everything probably accordingly. When you left that job to go into, you know, the private sector and go to the chamber, was that tough for you?
I thought it would be a lot tougher. I thought, something major is going to happen and I'm going to feel like I'm left out of it. And that was right about the time that everything started to happen at once. We had the Jesse Jackson thing with the fight. We had Firestone was targeted as the maker of the, exploding tires. We lost air service to Chicago. And really, I was more, instead of on the outside reporting things that are happening, I had the opportunity for many of those things to be on the inside trying to make things better or to recover or to see what we could do. So, I had a great time. I was pregnant with all three of my kids on TV and pretty much shared most of my life. I got married here while I was on TV. And, you know, you really get to share with people, it was a different time then. I mean, you didn't have the social media aspect of things, but, you know, you're right. There wasn't as much to watch. People still sat down and watched the 6 o'clock news, and they stayed up to watch the 10 o'clock to see what the weather was going to be like to dress the kids the next day. And so it was a very different time, and I'm glad I got to experience it when I did. I don't think I would like it as much now.
Oh, I know. God. All right. I'm just curious. You were having this conversation. You know, Wayne Kent is retiring. You know, Bill Clevenger is retiring. You know, as mayor, we're starting to see, and we've had this a little bit, you know, here and there, but we're really seeing, in my mind, like a leadership change across the board. You know, are you at all concerned with a vacuum? Do you see the next generation of folks stepping up? I mean, how do you look at that landscape?
Well, Brian, it used to be that, you know, so many of our companies really kind of had positions that were designed to be the face of the company in the community. You know, it was a community relations person who was at every chamber event and really was the person the go-to man or woman that you called for comments and this, that, and the other thing. And many companies in cutting back have really changed that. You know, you used to have banks that had, you know, a full table at the Decatur Club for lunch every single day of the week, and that doesn't happen anymore. So it's really changed, and there are concerns because people get it, you know, those young people, they have a lot more coming at them as well, because you know, kids are involved in sports at a much younger age, and parents are really involved in what their kids are doing. And it's not just, I mean, when I was growing up, you had boys basketball on Friday night, and that was like what you did as a family at your high school. And, you know, girl sports were just starting to really get popular. And so, I mean, it's a whole different lifestyle. So there are a lot of challenges, a lot of things competing for the time. So, yeah, I am worried about who's really going to be doing all the work, because we count on volunteers so much in our community to step up and do it.
Yeah, I was reading a Wall Street Journal article yesterday that American factories and manufacturers are desperate for workers, and this is a $1 trillion problem for this country. We have been working with Nicole over at EDC, and we, you know, we've talked to several of these companies. We did several yesterday. We're doing several this week, these Zoom videos about their need. We visited with Acorn Pharmaceuticals yesterday. We visited with TCCI. You know, these are people that have 400 employees, 500 employees. They can't find workers. We have done this with Caterpillar. We've done this. We're doing it with ADM and Tate and Lyle. We just went through an election cycle where Nick and I sat here with every single one of these candidates that were running for office talking about how there are no jobs or opportunities for people, and every single company I'm talking to desperately wants to fill jobs.
Brian, it is unheard of to me that Caterpillar is advertising on the radio trying to get people to apply for jobs. Caterpillar used to be the dream company that you would go to work at another factory, get some good experience, get a good work history, and move your way up and get, you know, to the goal of getting to Caterpillar someday. For them to have trouble is really pretty frightening. And I get so frustrated when I hear politicians and even, you know, many of our elected officials, we need good jobs. We have good jobs in this community. I need people who will step up. And if they don't have the training, we've got training dollars available for them. I don't understand the disconnect we have between people who say they want work or say they can't get a job or can't find a job and these companies that have jobs for them. Okay, every job is not like Disneyland. You don't just get to go and be praised. Many of these are hard jobs, but there are rewards with it. You know, you get benefits, you get health insurance. There are things that would, trying to bridge that gap is hard.
Mayor, I was talking to Jennifer Walker from Tate and Lyle, and you know, she said that people wouldn't recognize, you know, what it looks like there versus 10 years ago just with the technology. And so, I mean, you know, those types of jobs are improving. The benefits, we were visiting with Acorn Pharmaceuticals, they offer pet insurance for their employees.
That, I mean, that's amazing. But it's trying to figure out how to make this work because we have it all here. And we should be able to get people into those positions.
And she told me a story yesterday about a fast food worker that she hired who was a line worker a year and a half ago who really didn't know that if she could do this job, and she's been promoted 3 times in a little over a year.
Well, and that tells you the story. There are opportunities here, you know, at your fingertips. And, okay, maybe I would need a refresher course in math if I were going to go into some of the techie sort of things that a lot of these factory jobs have right now. But we can get you that training. We have those dollars available. We have the training. Richland is amazing for what they can do to get people trained and ready to be at work.
And then Workforce Investment Solutions and so many others. And then many of these companies that we're talking to will also help pay for you to be trained or train you themselves. I think if we could just quit concentrating on the negative. I mean, we have problems we have to solve, and I don't think anybody would deny that. But if let's just connect these underemployed people to better jobs, better careers, I think it's the magic bullet. I really do. I didn't see any numbers from the health department yesterday. I don't know if you had access to something I didn't see. So I don't know what to ask you about COVID cases in Macon County because I didn't see anything.
I did see the numbers, and I'm drawing a bit of a blank. I know we did not have a death, but they came under another heading. It was under like a diabetes workshop or something like that.
Oh, of course.
So I'll try to forward it to you when we get off the air. But we're not where we want to be, and I want to say it was like 16 or 19, somewhere in that range. But, you know, Brian, it's like so many other things. I don't know how we get the message out of what, you know, the real facts are. You know, the facts are, we need to vaccinate people. We've got to keep this moving. We've got jobs in this community. We've got help available for you if you're willing to work and show up for work on day two as well as day one. But there, the job issue, if we can get people in these positions, then they can buy homes. And if you buy a home, you're going to keep it up as opposed to renting a house where you might not, or you don't feel it's your responsibility. And that is these neighborhoods we're trying to revitalize. Until we get people owning those homes in those neighborhoods, it's not going to be sustainable. So we've got to bridge that gap as well.
All right, Mayor. We appreciate it. Have a great day. 12 was the number. Sorry, I didn't think to look for the COVID numbers under the diabetes press release headline.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.